Here are the facts. When you ask the residents that Trump is claiming to help, they say that they oppose it at a 79% rate. 61% of them feel less safe. When you ask them what they care about the most, it's not homicides, it's not carjackings, it's Trump's occupation of D.C. So the question then becomes, who are we helping here? Who are we helping here? The idea that public policy isn't meant to serve the public in D.C. is absolutely absurd when Trump was claiming he was helping the public. So the question that I then want to ask is, why don't we mobilize the National Guard to the 8 out of 10 red states that are the highest homicide states? If this decreases crime, and that's sufficient enough to mobilize the National Guard against the explicit will of the people of D.C., why is the National Guard not marching through the streets?
The explicit will of the people of D.C., the law, he was already quoted.
I'm not talking about the law.
Hey, everybody, Adam Mockler here. I just got off of CNN Newsnight with Abby Phillip, and you know, you guys are going to enjoy this one. Make sure you watch until the end, because I debate MAGA Scott Jennings, I debate MAGA radio host Phil Williams, and it ends up being really satisfying. So stick around, make sure you drop a like, and make sure you subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed to stay up to date with breaking news and the debates. Thank you all so much.
Do you see really that this trolling of Trump and social media, which is doing gangbusters for Gavin Newsom's social media accounts, what's the pathway to actually bringing voters back to the Democratic Party? Because the internet is not real life. That is the truth, and I'm not sure I'm seeing Democrats understanding that.
Well, there's two parts to it. First, you have to drive the attention, then you drive the narrative. So right now, he's getting the attention piece in the attention economy, and he's doing it quite well. He's getting millions of views. I also don't agree that Obama's twisting himself in pretzels. I think it's a completely logical statement. Norms in a democracy work a lot like consent. You can't have meaningful consent when only one side is engaging in that, and you can't have meaningful norms when one side is engaging. So when Obama says, we're okay with temporary redistricting, that's what it is, temporary redistricting, proportional to what Texas is doing, I don't think that's very hypocritical. But when it comes to Newsom, get the attention, drive the narrative. That's what Democrats should do.
I think the Democrats are hemorrhaging voters because they've chosen all the wrong constituencies. They seem to care more about illegal aliens than American citizens, violent criminals than law-abiding citizens, and the Palestinian flag more than the American flag.
That is not true, and that is
extremely disrespectful. When you take those positions on things like that, people tend to run to the other party. And
is there one mainstream Democrat that said he likes illegal immigrants over?
And you know that's not necessarily
Chris Van Hollen. There's one.
He said that? Chris Van Hollen did not say that.
He went and had margaritas at
Montana's.
He met with Kilmer Armando Obrego-Garcia, who was brought back to the United States. The administration conceded that he was sent there wrongfully, so Chris Van Hollen...
I mean, if you
want
to keep going down this road...
All right, Alencia.
You claim that Democrats like...
Hold on. As someone who does a lot of messaging in the Democratic Party, we do have a messaging issue. But the real thing here is that we have to go to these voters and talk to them about the pain that they are feeling before we bring the policy solution, because we do have the policy solution. We just have to figure out a better way of listening to our voters. And I think we are in this crisis right now where we are forced to do that. And I do believe that Democrats can come back and gain these voters back.
President Trump dipping his toe in the socialism pool. Some of his recent moves have the government's hands firmly involved in a number of business dealings. For example, in an unusual move, NVIDIA has agreed to give 15% of its revenue from chip sales to China to the United States government. And in June, Japan's Nippon Steel was allowed to buy out U.S. Steel, but only if the White House was granted a golden share that gives them extraordinary amounts of influence over a U.S. company. And Trump has even leveraged his tariff policy to demand investment in the United States. And just last week, he demanded Goldman Sachs replace its chief economist over their tariff predictions. And yesterday, Bloomberg reported that the administration is discussing taking a 10% share in Intel to help rescue the company. But if you think calling any of this social is a bridge too far? Well, conservative Eric Erickson thinks that that is exactly what it is.
The U.S. government would become the largest shareholder of Intel. This is actual socialism happening by a Republican administration. This is a horrible precedent. This is socialism. All of you people were freaked out about Mamdani in New York City wanting government-run grocery stores and saying the people need to seize the means of production. That's what Harold Lutnick is doing right now, saying that the government must seize the controlling interest in Intel, the means of production, in order to get government money. You can't just be against socialism when the left does it.
Phil, can you respond to that? Because I think it is perplexing that conservatives would be okay with all of that.
The idea that Donald Trump's not going to have influence, that's silly. He's absolutely going to have influence, but he's not weighing in and destroying the free market. He's not doing what Biden did, which is going in and trying to reshape the entire auto industry in his image. What he's really doing right now is he's saying there are better ways, but the free market capitalist
What are you talking about when you talk about Biden and the auto industry?
Did you not see what he did? There was no demand for EVs to the extent that the Biden administration wanted, so they regulated it into existence. They funded it to make sure it had subsidies to survive. And then when the subsidies went away, the industry collapsed, which was a clear indication that industry was not ready for its day.
Okay.
You keep citing the free market, but politicizing companies and allocating capital politically is not the free market. Supply and demand is the free market. And you say that Biden reshaped the EV industry in his image. Trump is reshaping the entire tariff global order in his image. He's placing tariffs on countries that make no sense whatsoever.
I told you you had to buy a certain vegetable at the store, and if you didn't like it, that was just too bad. That was the only one you could buy. And I was going to subsidize that vegetable industry. And oh, by the way, I was going to regulate that by the time 2030 came along, that's the only vegetable you could buy.
If I told you I'm going to place tariffs on every single country with no discretion whatsoever, and you're going to say he's not reshaping the global
order.
Have
you seen the budget that we had last year or last month? We actually had a budget surplus for the first time ever. The tariffs are working.
Sheila, first of all, it is not true that you can't go to an auto dealer and buy a non-EV car. So that is not an accurate description.
I said he was reshaping the market.
Yeah, but you described it as if the government were telling people that they can't go get something else at the car dealership when they absolutely can.
Have you seen California?
But the other, you can.
To have better public safety and more reasonable safety standards within Washington, D.C.
So now it doesn't matter, Scott Jennings, that voters are not happy with what Trump's doing, don't feel safer, all of that.
I don't care what they think. I mean, these are the same people who elected the mayor and city council that ran the city's public safety into the ground in the first place.
You don't care what the residents...
They don't know what's good for them.
You don't care what the residents of D.C. think.
I do not. I do not care one bit, and I'll tell you something else.
I do remember just a couple weeks ago you were saying, well, secretly, D.C. residents really want this because they know the crime is so bad.
Now we actually have
the numbers that say, will Trump's federal takeover reduce violent crime? 65% say no, just 20% say yes. Do you feel like the presence of federal officers makes you feel safer, more safe, 18%, less safe, 61%.
Why would they say that?
Here are the facts. When you ask the residents that Trump is claiming to help, they say that they oppose it at a 79% rate. 61% of them feel less safe. When you ask them what they care about the most, it's not homicides. It's not carjackings. It's Trump's occupation of D.C. So the question then becomes, who are we helping here? Who are we helping here? The idea that public policy isn't meant to serve the public in D.C. is absolutely absurd when Trump was claiming he was helping the public. So the question that I then want to ask is, why don't we mobilize the National Guard to the 8 out of 10 red states that are the highest homicide states? If this decreases crime, and that's sufficient enough to mobilize the National Guard against the explicit will of the people of D.C., why is the National Guard not marching through the streets?
The explicit will of the people of D.C., the law.
But one thing, because what Adam just said was something that we asked here at the table yesterday. Why not address violence in all these other parts of the country?
Not a Democrat.
I'm not saying that President Trump should do it, but all these red state governors have the ability to mobilize their National Guards within their own states. Why aren't they doing it?
Right now, I don't think they feel the need to. But
levels are higher in some of
those states
than
don't have a Home Rule Act, but they do have a governor.
They have a governor and they have a National Guard that's under the control of the government.
We're talking about D.C. right
now. How are they
not
seeing
their cities have more crime than Washington, D.C.?
The difference between our national capital and every other city.
You're saying that the National Guard is a defeater of crime, but then you refuse to endorse the National Guard being put in other states. You're going to say the National Guard is lower
crime. I'm arguing that the national capital, Washington, D.C., exists in a different federal zone, as was pointed out.
As it relates to Donald Trump's role in this whole thing. The president's, that's what I'm saying. When it comes to the rest of the country, governors have governors have the authority to do what Trump is doing, and they are not doing.
There's one final segment that we did for fun, but as always, if you appreciated this video, make sure you're subscribed to the Adam Mockler feed below and check this out.
So now you each have 30 seconds to tell us, in the spirit of high school reunions, what would you tell your former high school haters, Adam?
I was not the best student in high school. I graduated 4 years ago, but I'd say I'm now on CNN with Abby Phillip. That's what I'd say.
That's a flex.
Oh, wow.
That he graduated 4 years.
He just aged us.
owning people twice my age.
He aged us and he sucked up to the host right there.
Oh, gosh. Okay,
let's see. He literally aged us.